Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for this whole weekend show. The second hour will be, again, focused a bit more on some of the company updates that I recorded throughout this week. And that also just goes to show how many updates we had this week in terms of company commentary and market commentary. So please, everyone, be sure to follow up on our website and check out some of those interviews that I posted throughout the week. I do also want to note that we do have a pretty important KE Report webinar coming out on Wednesday, a royalty roundtable focusing on some of the more high-quality mid-tier royalty companies. I will post a link to sign up for that webinar on our website and on that weekend show posting. I am kicking off this weekend show with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro Pacific Gold Fund. Adrian, let's start with gold and this recovery that we have seen in April. We are recording this late in the day on Wednesday. The markets are closed and gold is just under that $1,800 level. So we don't know how it's going to finish the week, but overall, just even this week, we did have another, let's call it pseudo breakout for gold. It's over the March highs of about 1750, and really that 1750 level was pretty strong resistance. Adrian, how are you viewing this rebound or possible recovery in gold?
Yes, well, good day, Corey, and thank you for having me. Yeah, I think we've definitely seen the lows, as you say. What we've seen in the last 2 weeks or week, really, what we've seen in the last week is gold breaking out fairly convincingly above that level that had held all the way back to the end of February. You know, since the end of February, we've had, up and down. We had two big drop downs, to the, 1680 or 1670 level, whatever it was. And then we bounced up against that 1745, 1750 level several times. Now we've broken convincingly through that. So I think this is potentially the breakout. There's a couple of fundamental factors as well as a market psychology factor. So, one of the reasons that gold was declining, well, one was that interest rates were moving up again. And, of course, other things being equal, higher interest rates are bad for gold. We saw this pretty much all year until the beginning of April. And then since then, this month, yields have started going down again. You look at the dollar. The dollar was another reason. The dollar strength, which didn't really start until, January, really. Beginning of January was the low for the dollar. And that moved all the way through to the beginning of April. The dollar was moving up. Other things being equal, higher dollar, higher U.S. dollar, negative for gold. And this month, the dollar has started declining again. So that's another two very, very powerful factors. I mean, it's too early to say, but the longer-term trend in rates is down and the longer-term trend in the dollar is down. We could talk about the dollar if you want, but certainly there's been a switch this month, a change in direction. And then, the other thing, of course, everybody's been talking about all the spending that we expect and in the U.S. and in many ways, it was kind of unusual, I think. It surprised a lot of people. But when Biden was elected, and then even more so when he was sworn in, that gold continued to decline, even though we knew there was going to be more spending. But what we've seen in the last month, we've seen $1.9 trillion handed out for COVID relief. We've seen $2.3 trillion in infrastructure spending announced, and a plan for that. And before that's even sent to Congress, they've sent another $2.3 trillion for government funding for the next year and said there's going to be a $1 to $2 trillion for fighting racism and inequality. That's before we've even passed the earlier one. And so people are beginning to say, I think, oh, wow, you know, this pickup in spending is real. It's going to happen. So all of those things, and I think on top of all of that, you know, markets, it's sometimes just a matter that, you know, sentiment changes because you have buyers exhausted or on the downside, you have sellers exhausted. And I think that's a lot of what happened in gold. You know, we had that huge run from the end of March to the beginning of August. So in less than 4 months, we had gold up over 40% in U.S. dollar terms. That is extraordinary, extraordinary. You do not expect gold to jump 40% in 3.5 months. And when it failed to keep going, as was inevitable, you started having latecomers sell first, then you had generalists sell. And, you know, finally all that was left were diehard gold supporters, but even they were not really buying, right? I don't know if you had that. I certainly had that. People saying, I'll stick with what I've got, but there's no rush to invest more, you know, because they've seen gold decline for 7 or 8 months. And so I think we just ran out of sellers, frankly, at some point. Anyway, long-winded answer, but I think gold has we've broken above that 1750. We've seen the low. It's not going to be straight up from here. Of course, it never is. We might have to fight that 1800 level. Certainly the 1850 level we'll have to fight, or 1840, 1850 level we'll have to fight for a little while. But I think we've seen that low. People, first of all, sentiment is extremely, or was last week, sentiment was extremely negative. And people, investors are extremely underweight gold. So we'll start to see, you know, generalist investors move back in.
Yeah, I think that really just speaks to this rotation trade, something that we did talk a fair bit about this week, and something that has been, well, happening really for this month, is that money has rotated a little bit out of these more risk-on assets into some of these risk-off or safer assets like bonds, like gold. We'll see how long this trend can be, because let's face it, right, Adrian, there's a long way for gold to go, a lot of resistance levels to take out on the upside. So I consistently hear that we could have at least few months, if not the rest of this year, of gold just slowly climbing, not really that skyrocketing move that we saw last year. What do you think about that environment, the possibility of really gold at least having a bottom here, but not going through that sort of epic rise that we saw last year?
I think that's definitely true for the next several months. You know, after you've been through a long, and by long, I mean, we're talking since August, but still beginning of August, after you've been through a long decline, you know, it takes a while for people to get that confidence back. The generalists that bought at the end of June thought he was onto something good, and then he wound up selling at the end of, in September and losing money. He's going to maybe be a little bit more cautious to get back into gold. So it takes time for different investors to come back in. And equally, the person that wished sold at 1850 is just waiting for it to go back to 1850 to sell. So, you know, I think that's absolutely right. The other big factor, quite honestly, Corey, and this has been talked about so many times, we can talk about the U.S. dollar and what's wrong with the U.S. dollar all we want, but what other fiat currencies are going to, in the near term, what other fiat currencies are going to be exceptionally strong against the dollar?
All right, Adrian, unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're going to end it on that question, and I'm going to have you back on next segment to continue this discussion. Everybody, stick around. Adrian and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Adrian Day. Adrian, I had to cut you off at the tail end of the last segment for our radio times, but I want to continue that discussion. You were outlining some of the headwinds and tailwinds for gold, and you were getting into a discussion on currencies, balancing out. Look, if you want to think that the U.S. dollar is going to continue its weakness, what currencies are going to outperform? What countries are doing better than the U.S.? U.S. right now. Adrian, pick up where you left off last segment, please.
I think we can see some marginal strength in some of the Asian exporting countries, but China, very specifically, does not want the yuan to get too strong. I think we'll see continued strength in the commodity currencies, Canadian dollar, Australian dollar, etc. But they're relatively small currencies in the overall global context. Is the dollar going to be particularly weak against the euro? I don't think so in the near term. So I think the dollar is going to, on balance, decline for the balance of the year, I just don't think it's going to be a particularly strong decline. And that'll restrain gold.
Adrian, let's move down into some of the stocks, the gold equities, because one thing that I think was telling us that a gold rebound was coming was the rebound in the seniors, the major miners. They started rebounding in March. Even something like GDX, which is the larger cap gold ETF, gold stock ETF, that put in a higher low and not necessarily a double bottom in March. So it was showing relative strength compared to gold and showing that some of the bigger money was starting to come back into the sector. How do you see the overall health of these majors and this uptrend that is now longer than gold's uptrend, the outperformance of the majors?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's another factor that I would say is very bullish for gold and for gold equities. When gold is leading, you expect a fairly modest bull market. But when a gold stock starts to lead, the reverse can be the case. And, we saw that very clearly, of course, since 2011. I like history, but we won't go into that. But let's just say that gold stocks have definitely picked up momentum from gold in the last month or so. But, the gold stocks, the senior gold stocks we're talking about now, the major miners, they are still very, very cheap on a historical basis. They're cheap on a price basis. But if you look at the Huey index, it's less than half what it was in 2012. Less than half in terms of price. And I would argue that with gold where it is today, with cost inputs where they are today, with the stronger discipline, the better discipline among senior companies, if anything, the gold stock should be priced higher today than they were back then. But more importantly, because, we're value investors, we're not, momentum investors or anything. And as, referring to Oscar Wilde's quip about people who know the price of everything but the value of nothing, I think valuation is more important than price. You look at valuations. You look at the senior gold stocks in terms of book value. They're selling in the lowest quartile, historic lowest quartile. That simply does not make sense. If you look at where the market is today, you look at cash flow. Again, we're almost in the lowest 10th percentile. That means 90% of the time they've been trading higher in terms of cash flow. Again, it just doesn't make sense. So, you've got, I think, an almost ideal environment for gold. Number one, you've got gold cheap, based on the last 12 months. You've got negative sentiment, or certainly not positive sentiment. You've got gold stocks that are a perfect environment for gold stocks. I think this is just a perfect setup for gold stocks, and one that doesn't happen very often, to be honest.
Adrian, do the majors need to be worried about some of these rising costs, like energy costs, like other input costs?
Yes, obviously, when costs move up, other things being equal, that's a negative for the profits. The margins and the profits. But I would say a couple of things. First of all, the margins today are much wider than they were back in, 2009, 2011. The margins are much wider. Because they've done a better job of controlling costs in addition to just the costs themselves, the prices being lower. They've actually controlled costs better. I mean, you look at a company like Barrick. and you look at how their G&A, which has something to do with the price of oil, how their G&A has gone down significantly in the last 2 years since Mark Bristow took over. So they've certainly done a much better job controlling costs, and the margins are wider. The other thing I would say is, yes, if the price of gold and other commodities continues to move up, you expect the price of the commodity currencies to move up. You expect that. And, you know, that's the second highest cost input for miners is the local costs, which are determined largely by the currencies. Right? If you're an American company operating in Australia and the Australian dollar is going up, your local costs are going up as you report them. But, you know, there's a long way to go, a long way to go before these costs are anywhere close to where they were again in 2010-11. Look at the Australian dollar, it's at 75 cents right now. It was over a dollar in 2010-11-12. Think about the Canadian dollar, which has been one of the strongest currencies recently. You know, that wasn't over a dollar. That was well over a dollar, right? Remember, it was at $1.50, $1.60. Remember that? That seems so long ago. That was back in the 01, 02. But even in 2010, 11, you know, I guess it is, the Canadian dollar is stronger today than it was back then. But the other currencies, like the Australian dollar, Chilean pesos, South African rand, they are all meaningfully lower today than they were back then. And oil, of course, is meaningfully lower. So I just think we have quite a ways to go before we need to be seriously concerned about margin squeeze.
So, Adrian, again, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. Just as a note for everyone listening to this on the radio, you can visit our website, kereport.com, and listen to this full interview with Adrian Day, unedited in its entirety. That being said, I don't usually do this, Adrian, but I am going to have you back on next segment because we have just gotten into the majors, and I have some questions about potential M&A activity, or hopefully a pickup in some M&A activity, as well as some of the rumors and questions you have been handling from the people that you talk to. So everyone, stick around. Adrian Day and I are going to be right back for the third segment here.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one business book in the world. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, two-time national best-selling author and owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold firm in the country. We help investors put physical metals inside their IRAs. My first book, Gold is a Better Way, sparked a movement. My new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one book in the country. I believe every investor should own physical metals. It's why I'm giving away my best-selling book to anyone with an IRA with over $100,000 for free. Call 800-900-8000 to get the bestseller, The Great Devaluation, sent directly to your door. That's 800-900-8000. The new decision is now obvious. Don't you deserve to do it with the best? Call 800-900-8000 for your free book today. That's 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
COVID cases rising to dangerous levels overseas. India breaking world records 3 days in a row for most new cases. Saturday, they announced almost 347,000 new cases and over 2,600 deaths. That's the country's highest single-day death toll of the pandemic. On top of that, hospitals in India reporting a short supply of oxygen. Good news in the U.S., though. Federal health officials Friday approved using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine again, effective immediately. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
We have three safe and effective options for a COVID-19 vaccine in this country. And the J&J is an important vaccine offering key advantages, including its single-dose option and its viability when the supply chain may not allow for freezers.
The vaccine paused over a week ago after reports of blood clots in some recipients. 15 women now reporting blood clots after getting the vaccine. Three of them die. That's out of 4 million women that have received it. This is USA Radio News. More Americans returning to normal as more of us get vaccinated. That transition back to pre-COVID activities can be stressful for some, though. Florida psychiatrist Dr. Daniel Bober on CBS News Friday with advice for those struggling.
You have to think about going into a swimming pool. You don't have to dive into the deep end. You just dip your foot into the water. So instead of going back into an office full of people, maybe start off slow. Maybe ride a bus once a week or go for a walk with a friend. You don't have to dive right in. Just take it one step at a time.
You can find tips on how to deal with COVID-related stress at cdc.gov. As part of our national return to normal, President Biden will meet face-to-face with more world leaders. The White House announcing Friday Biden will visit the U.K. for a G7 summit and Belgium for a NATO summit, both visits coming in June. This will be his first international trip since taking office. One issue Biden and our allies might discuss, Russia. Opposition leader Alexei Navalny ending his hunger strike Friday after 24 days. The hunger strike, a protest against what he calls his politically motivated imprisonment. This is USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. We are back, continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing on again the third segment with Adrian Day. Now, Adrian, last segment we were talking about the majors and the overall health of the majors. What about M&A activity? M&A still has been relatively slow. We can use COVID as an excuse for that. But with majors having stronger balance sheets, do you see or foresee any uptick in significant M&A, especially traveling down to the juniors?
Yeah, a couple of things there. The first point, obviously, is that the senior companies made so many bad deals back in 2011, 12, 13. We've talked about that before. I mean, very, very bad deals to the point where 75% of the money spent on acquisitions in 2011, 12, 13 was written off. Not written down, but written off within 2 years. Managers were fired, et cetera, et cetera. So there's this newfound discipline. So I think that's one thing that is really restraining it, because even if the CEO wants to do something, you've got people on the board sort of saying, you know, remember 2012, remember your predecessor and what happened to him. So that's the first thing, a little bit more discipline, and with that, a little more caution. The second thing, of course, is COVID. The restrictions on travel made it very difficult for companies to actually send people from head office on site to look at these projects. That's true of Canada, true of Australia, true of many countries around the world. And so I know from speaking to people, obviously they don't tell me what they're looking at, but I know from talking to people that there is a fairly advanced pipeline of acquisitions, maybe not world, stunning acquisitions of large companies or anything like that, but acquisitions of projects, of properties that are in the pipeline. People just need to be able to send their own team there to look at. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of that. The other thing I would say, though, you know, is among a lot of the seniors, whether it's Barrick or whether it's Anglo, they're talking up acquisitions, but they want no premium acquisitions. And that, of course, becomes a much tougher sell unless there's a really good reason for the target company, because they can talk about a merger of equals. They're not mergers of equals, right? There's always one company taking over another company, or 99 times out of 100. Unless there's a compelling reason for the target company to want to be sold, whether it's, Rand Gold, which saw the opportunity for them to sort of grow and expand out of Africa and for the CEO to become CEO of a much larger company, or whether it's Goldcorp, where, can I be cynical for a moment, certain people at the top saw the opportunity to get huge, enormous, unwarranted change of control bonuses after having destroyed the company for the previous 10 years. Unless there's a compelling reason for someone to want to sell, you're going to want a premium, right? So that's at the top. At the lower end, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and they say, you know, we've looked at every project in X, Y, or Z, you know, but in any way comes close to fitting our parameter, and there's always something wrong with it. It's surprising to me how many companies have said, you know, once we got to due diligence on the projects, we decided we weren't really interested. So I think that goes to the fact that, you know, we all know the numbers about production and about discoveries and how we're not discovering. We're only discovering half the number of ounces that we're producing. But so we know that's a problem, but the problem is aggravated tremendously by the fact that, you know, the quality of the assets that are around need a much higher gold price to become attractive.
That's always the key, right? A higher gold price does make these projects more attractive, but I don't know. There are projects out there that can make money, good money, at these current prices. But again, the whole M&A activity has been slow, and we can blame that on COVID, but I think it has also just been a general cleanup of the majors and how they're run. Adrian, I want to ask you a broad question.
That's right.
To questions that you are handling in terms of precious metals investors, what are some that just keep on popping up to you?
Well, two things. One is, when you say keep popping up, recently, most of the questions I've had from our gold investors have been, you know, I'd like to put a little bit into Bitcoin. So, and I'm talking a little bit. I'm talking a guy that's got $500,000 in gold, and he says, I'm just thinking of putting $5,000 or $10,000 into Bitcoin. What do you think? So it's very much at the margin for my investors, but we are getting quite a bit of that. And in some ways, that's natural because, you know, for 9 months, gold's done nothing and Bitcoin's gone up. You know, one of the things that we get over and over again, you know, throughout the years, I mean, I've been in this business, I've been managing money for 30 years. Our investors tend to be long-term investors. You know, we always talk to them about gold. We talk to them about the volatility. We make sure they understand that. I think the critical thing, and I'm kind of switching gears a little bit, but the critical thing for people investing in gold is to understand volatility, be prepared for it, not just financially, but emotionally as well. And it's funny how many people, when gold's going up, say, I know it's volatile. You know, I don't mind losses, etc. But as soon as they get the losses, you know, I've had clients calling me almost crying, saying, I cannot sleep. I cannot sleep. I need to sell it. And so the lesson is upfront, you know what kind of person you are, and don't invest too much in the sector. whatever your financial and emotional or psychological framework is, you know, make sure you're prepared for it. Because, you know, we talked about this before the show, Corey. You know, it's really sad. I can have two clients who start, who open a gold account at exactly the same time with exactly the same amount of money, and they're both, let's say, mid-risk or gold investors. One over the years will do well, and one will do badly. And I'm not for a second saying I'm always right. Of course not, of course not. I just need to say that. But the ones who do badly over the long term are the people who put too much money in. Because when you have too much money in the one sector, it means you make bad decisions. My son-in-law's just lost his job and he can't afford the mortgage. I have to pull out money now to pay his mortgage. I have to. I have no choice. Well, this is not a good day to be pulling money out, Mr. Smith. Sorry, I have to pull it out today, and I'll be needing it. So the clients who have to sell, and similarly the clients who psychologically can't take it. I had a client who actually liquidated in February 2009. It was within 10 days of the all-time low. He said, it keeps going down. I can't stand it anymore. I've got to sell. And, you know, so if you put less money in, if he'd have had less money in, he wouldn't have felt that way. So that's the biggest lesson I've learned for people. Now, some people can take it. I mean, some people have 100% of their money in gold stocks, and they ride them up and they ride them down, and they're having fun, and, you know, it's an alternative to gardening, right? It's fun. But you've got to know yourself, and that's a rare person that's like that.
Adrian, we'll wrap it up here. Good chatting with you, as always. I look forward to having you back on the show in another couple weeks. I hope everybody enjoyed these first two segments of the Weekend Edition. I'm going to be right back, so everybody, stick around. Adrian, have a great rest of your weekend.
And you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're shifting focus a little bit away from the resource sector and looking more broadly at the U.S. equity markets. Just to note, throughout this week, I had a number of commentaries that were focused on the U.S. equity markets. And really, my takeaway was that a lot of people have shifted a bit more pessimistic or bearish towards these U.S. equity markets. And especially for the start of the week and even through the tail end of the week, we did see some general weakness, but again, it wasn't huge weakness and it didn't seem to truly build on itself. That being said, I am chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, again, the general mood towards the markets seems to be negative and bearish. What's your outlook on these markets?
Yeah, that's right. At least, maybe not in some of the broader surveys, which are still fairly indicate fairly bullish sentiment, but maybe in financial journalism and some of the social media financial outlets, things the sentiment seems to be a little bit more negative, a little bit more dour than the market action would suggest. And to me, that would kind of suggest that that would make me lean a little bit more bullish. You know, people are being a little bit too pessimistic given the market action, and because of that would suggest that maybe this uptrend could continue to grind a little bit higher. You know, we did see after that top in February, you know, we had that perfect kind of 3-month trading window following the U.S. election when everything pretty much went straight up. Since then, it's been what we've called kind of a two-way market with stocks and groups going up and down. Now, the two-way market we've been talking about has kind of evolved into a notion where it's two-way in the sense that we've got some areas of the market going up, some going down. So we have more of a delineation between winners and losers at this point. So you have to be a little bit more selective in what you're investing in. But from a broad market perspective, we still don't see any indication of an impending major top or a major correction or anything like that. So from our perspective, I would say anything overly bearish or overly concerning might not be warranted quite yet at this point. So we're still looking. You know, we've trimmed a bunch of profits in areas that have broken down and switching into newer relative strength areas. So we have taken some off the table, but still looking to buy the dip in new relative strength areas once we get dips like we've seen, you know, over the last week or so. We got a little bit of dip in some areas and put some more cash to work. So we'll continue doing that until we see you know, more decisive and quantitative reasons to be more concerned.
So you do bring up a good point there, Dana, where we are hearing in the financial world some more bearish comments from some of the commentators, but some of the underlying sentiment data is still showing almost extremely high bullish sentiment. So I guess we need to balance those two out. When it comes to the clear winners and losers, though, you're right. The last about 3 months, let's say, there has been a divergence where certain sectors have been definitely leading and some have been lagging. Where do you see some of the winning sectors currently?
Yes, some of the winners. So we've seen some of those areas that had been leading suffered potential breakdowns, but have now recovered, like some of the areas in technology, healthcare, back leading the way. Semiconductors have reemerged again. I think they look strong. And then across the gamut, you've got other sectors doing well. Consumer staples breaking out to new highs. Materials continue to grind higher. Same thing with industrials. Consumer discretionary is kind of like the tech stocks has rebounded well back to new highs. So, and financials continue to pretty much grind their way higher. So there's no shortage of areas or, of options to choose from a relative strength standpoint. So from that perspective, I would say it's not, things have thinned, leadership has thinned to some extent, but I would not characterize it as thin by any means.
What are some of the losing sectors then? Where are you trimming some of your positions? Where are you not buying the dip?
Sure. So we saw, you know, since I guess February top, we saw some areas, some former leaders start to break down, like some of the positions, some of our positions, some of the areas in the energy, biotech, the small caps and mid and micro caps, after trying to lead the way initially, have broken down below some technical pivot levels. So just over the last couple weeks into the bounce, so we have trimmed those positions and, like I said, have begun to move into either newer relative strength or areas that have reasserted themselves as relative strength. So I guess those would be a few of the areas that we have gotten out of over the last few days or weeks.
What have you seen in terms of changes in breadth? Because it was, I think, just 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago max, that you were outlining some breadth indicators that were at or very near some all-time highs.
Yeah, it's, breadth is, you know, a very large component in our risk model. So the reason being, we want to be on the right side of the overall market. So about 70% to 80% of the direction of a stock is due to the overall, the direction of the overall market. So we want to be aligned with the market, and breadth statistics help tremendously in that regard. And there has been some deterioration, some softness in breadth, but we've seen, I think I've seen more comments, more articles on deteriorating breadth readings or indicators than I've seen in a long time. And to be honest, there's been some loosening, some relaxing in the breadth statistics, but nothing that quantitatively, from a historical perspective, would deem to be that damaging or that destructive or that ominous from our perspective. In fact, several of our breadth indicators, key indicators, not related to small caps, mind you, have continued to be firm and are actually even accelerating right now. So I would say there are select pockets of the market, i.e. those small caps and micro cap areas, that have seen some deterioration in the breadth that is maybe meaningful. But overall, still not seeing reason to be that concerned about the breadth at this point. Like you and I talked before the call, the value line, looking at those value line indices, which track the geometric tracks the median stock and the arithmetic tracks the average stock in the market. Those are both sitting right at all-time highs still even today. So no reason to be overly concerned from that perspective yet.
Now, what about news events, too, Dana? Because we're recording this later in the day on Thursday, and kind of out of the blue, we got that whole new Biden tax update when it comes to capital gains, and that caused a drop in the market. Again, not a huge drop, but definitely something to note as we progress into Friday. I know you don't invest around news events, but how do you view something like that that pushed the markets down?
Right. So, our models are all quantitative. They're all statistics. They come from market data itself. So there's no way to model news events or rumors or headlines or anything like that. So our perspective is if in the event that those news events or headlines or events like that, exogenous kind of market events, are important, it will eventually leak into the data, into the quantitative data, into the statistics, and we'll be able to track it that way. To the extent that it's just noise, which I think 95% of the time it just is, then use it to your advantage. It's almost always a fade. These news events are almost always a fade. If it pushes prices down out of the blue, use it to your advantage and buy some stuff. If it pushes prices, you know, if prices skyrocket because of a news event, then use it to trim a little bit. But the news events are almost always, they're very emotional, and they're almost always a fade in the short term. So like today with the capital gains tax rumor, we're looking at stuff to buy into this dip because, again, it's usually a short term reaction to news events, and typically, unless it ends up leaking into like meaningful statistics and quantitative measures in the market, then it's usually just noise and something to be faded.
All right, Dana, thanks for taking some time on this weekend show. Always great having you on the show, and a very interesting take. Everybody, especially listening on the radio, we're going to be back for the second hour highlighting some of the key company interviews and updates I recorded throughout the week. Dana, thanks again for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.